I suppose I hesitate to start to bring this today because A, I don't want to jar from what God has already done this morning and is going to continue to do. Because I'm talking from a place today that I'm not completely healed and free in. But it's a thread that's gone right through my life. And I know that when I've spoken before, I've spoken about threads. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to keep taking on and off my glasses because you're all really blurred like that and I can't see what's in front of me if they're not on. You know, for years we had a pastoral core team and Mark and I were part of that under John and Wendy. And they taught us so many valuable tools, I guess, to freedom. And then we came to a point where we realised that things within our body had shifted. And perhaps that team was the way that God handled things pastorally amongst us was different. It took us a little while to catch up. But our hearts, those that were in that team and those that were mentored by John and Wendy, our hearts have always been for freedom. To see each other free. And that even though there may not be that formal structure, that doesn't change what we see and how we pray and what we want for each other. And I'm just going to stop because I am a seriously menopausal woman and I want to preach today from in front of this fan where Emma is. I want to go, oh, but I can't do that and read. So apologies if I do a bit of, what's it called, projectile perspiration or something and it ends up like a baptism or something, but, you know, it's not intentional. Thank you so much. An awesome example of today. Thank you, Gina. Is that going to be noisy in the microphone? Thank you, Gina. No? Oh, saved my bacon. Thank you. One of the things that I might have to take it off. It's distracting me even. Sorry. It's an awesome idea. Thank you. That one's working brilliantly, so I'll have that. Thank you. One of the things that I've been aware of and that we've taught on and mentored others on is how the enemy can often attack us in our place of anointing. And for me, I'm always looking when I'm in conversation with people at what's going on behind the presenting issue. Like what they're talking about, the thing that they're struggling with, I will see that and I will go beyond that and I will be looking at, all right, Lord, what's going on behind this, Lord? What are you trying to show me? How do I pray them free? And I do that for myself too. But one of the things that has derailed me or can derail me is something that I learned in childhood, which wasn't healthy. And the reason that we so often criticize is because we're trying to make ourselves feel better, actually. It comes from a place of wanting to elevate and feel like, well, I'm not like that, so I'm all right. But what that did, one thing it's probably really helpful, I think, for you to know about me, is that when I'm in conversation with you, I will hear criticism. Whether you're saying it or not, I will hear it. Because The lie that I sucked up so readily was that you see my flaws and that you are standing off from me and silently judging. And I'm sorry if that's shocking, but it's the thing that's tripped me up throughout my life. It will trip me up with Mark. It will trip me up with my kids. It trips me up at work. It's the thing that I have to say, you know, you are my hope, Lord. Now, I know that in Genesis 1:27, we are created in the image of God. I know that. And yet some things are so subtle that we have to be in this to know the truth. Because if our Christian walk is experiential, we can be fooled into thinking that God thinks the way that we do. That's God, not that this is God. And I have taken years. And I'm not fully there, but I know the truth. And what has impacted me on that is scripture. And I'm going to read some of those out this morning. I thought it was really interesting that Sue spoke about Isaiah 61 this morning, because that's a key scripture for our church, but also has been my life scripture. And long before I realized that, I knew that when I read this, I would weep. Not because I believed that I was anointed to proclaim good news for the poor, but because I so wanted to see the brokenhearted healed and the blind see. And I knew I was one of those, and I wanted that for me too. And it was years down the line, probably under mentoring with John and Wendy, that I started to see this as, wow, this is who God calls us to be. And I knew that this was for me. But it's not just for me, it's for us. We are called to stand alongside each other and to see freedom. Sorry, my notes are anything but in order. Have you ever maybe had an interaction with someone that has agitated you, maybe got right up your nose and annoyed you, frankly? Have you ever been hurt or offended by someone's words, whether they intended that or not? Has that ever happened? Is there anyone here that has not happened to? So we're in good company, right? Because what that can do for us is we can go, gosh, I seriously don't, that really jars with my core values, the thing that we're seeing. Now, it might be, I've done a bit of life coaching with Helen Wentworth over the last year, and she introduced me to core values. And we know that as a church, but it was really helpful for me to look at what are my core values? What do I take into relationships? Because it's usually I'm attracted to people that share my core values. And the people that jar are the people that perhaps don't have those core values and can say things or do things that are not how I would behave or just frankly really hurt, you know. And so the criticism part of me will go, good grief, what a mess. I am not going to do life with them. And all right, I'm not doing that as a conscious thought, but I will pull back I will pull back because A, I really don't like confrontation, and B, I've stopped at that place of pain. I've seized in my, I'm paralyzed in that moment, in that place of pain. And what God has shown me is that there are reasons he's showing us those things. We have a place of authority there that we can see each other healed and free if we're prepared to not be put off by what we're seeing that might jar us or hurt us. And believe me, if we've been hurt by something, if somebody's said a lie, told a lie about us, misrepresented something, hurt one of our kids, you know, it's really hard to actually stay in that place of, Lord, what's going on behind them? Why are they behaving this way? Show me your heart for them and how I pray them free. What's been really powerful in showing me that is the people that have stepped towards me in that moment. They've seen my ugly. They've seen my dysfunction. They've heard things come out of my mouth and they recognize that's my flawed nature. That's not me healed in God. They know, though, who God created me to be. They love me enough to see beyond that damage to the person that God created me to be. And they will do this. Mark, will you stand up and come? And they will do this. They will have the conversation and they're recognizing my character and my flaws in that moment. And they will do this. I see you. I know Elroy, the God who sees you. And I am going to stand with you and I am going to pray you free because I can see what's tripping you up. And when people have prayed like that for me, one example was when I really had a heart to do a marriage group. Thank you. But I'm not a comfortable public speaker. And even in stepping into a place of responsibility within the leadership here, I almost self-combusted under the pressure that I self-imposed. Wasn't external, wasn't at all. Want to make that really clear. But I almost crushed my own destiny at that point because I was feeling the weight of it. And the other leaders, particularly Simon and Anne, particularly Anne, saw something in my family line and moved towards me, recognized the pressure I'd put on myself, and saw something in my family line that was tripping us up. And she stepped towards me and she phoned me and she said, Linda, I can see that this bit right here might be something that you're finding too heavy a weight to carry. I recognize your anointing to want to bring this marriage group. But I recognize that you are feeling the weight of leading this too much. So let Simon and I lead this. We'll take that bit off of you. I just want to release you into the anointing, and into the what we believe and what we clearly see God has placed in you to bring forth. So we'll lead it. We'll do that bit. You then are free to just bring what your hearts are. And that instantly lifted off the pressure. Because then I was operating under, it's okay, they're going to lead this, they're going to do it for you, I haven't got to do that bit now. I can just put together what's on my heart and what we've gone through and what we've learned along the way. And even as she was praying that, she knew that that would probably be enough to just release us and that actually we would actually lead this. And that's exactly what happened, right? And yes, you know, there were parts that they did and that Chris and Karen did, and that was beautiful. We all worked together. But that moving towards me, she didn't go, for goodness sake, here goes Linda doing Linda again. You know, the promise of all this expectation is going to crash and burn now because she's beating herself up and she's doing what she would do. She didn't do that. She loved me. And she moved towards me and she said, God sees you. And you are created in his image. And we're going to stand with you and pray with you and see you free. A scripture that really kind of has been key in me understanding the things that we do sometimes that when we cause hurt or pain or that's caused to us, what's really helped me move beyond that point of criticism is Proverbs 16:2, verse 2. Which is, all a person's ways seem pure or just to them, but God weighs our motives. So what is a motive? Trying to find it. I know I've written it somewhere. Our motives are the reason for doing something or causing or being the reason for something happening is our motives. That's what motives mean. So we had... I could give you lots of examples, personal stories over the years, where I've seen the motive and been able to speak life into a situation and seen it changed. But I haven't asked for authority to be able to share people's stories and their people's stories, not mine. But there was one recently where there was a conversation had. And in that conversation, pain was caused. There was a difficult conversation and pain was caused. And the person that had the conversation was talking about it. And I could see that to them, their ways were just. I could see that. And how do we know that when we're hearing a justification? So if somebody confronts us with something, we might have this instant response of justification. It was because. It wasn't me. It was because. We'll hear that justification or some other justification that makes it in our own minds okay. What we did was okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. But I saw this person's anointing and I know that I've seen when this person has spoken from a place with a right motive, with God's heart, to bring freedom and to bring life. I know that I've seen this person do that, but I could see that in this occasion, they couldn't see that they were speaking with a wrong motive, that they'd come at this with a different motive, and their motive was their own pain. And in that moment, there were other people and in the room that were praying for this person. And I tend to, again, because of the things that trip me up, step back a bit and think, oh, well, I won't be right, so I won't say anything. But I wasn't hearing anyone addressing motive. And so right at the end, I got down on my knees in front of them And I spoke to their anointing. And I said, you are wise. You are gifted in being able to break situations open because of you speak clearly with love and with anointing. Do you think you spoke in this occasion from that motive? And I told them about Proverbs 16:2, just reminded them. We can all think our ways are just, but God's looking at our motives. And they in that moment, it unlocked something for them. And they were able to go back and put something right. And it will take them forward with a new awareness of motive. When our guard is down, usually is with the people that we're doing life with, isn't it? Right, we're really real with them. And we speak maybe with the wrong motives. You know, our hearts are probably just really real, aren't we? And we're we can cause a lot of pain in amongst those we are really close to and we really love. And maybe we're a bit more aware and self-aware when we're here or with each other than we are with our own families. There are so many scripture references to how we should be with each other. And really how not to be. So I'm probably jumping about, but I'm going to go back a bit to the do nots. So Matthew 7 verse 1 to 5. Now, I looked at this up in different translations, and I really like the Amplified version and also the Passion Translation. So do not judge and criticize and condemn each other. I need to step out here because I can't see it properly. With an attitude of self-righteous superiority, as though assuming an office of a judge, so that you will not be judged. For just as you have judged others, you will be judged. And in accordance with your standard of measure, judgment will be measured on you. Gosh, that's harsh, right? That's really not making any bones of what we do. Why then do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice and acknowledge the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me get that speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First get the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I will tie all these together. And the next one was James 4:11-12. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them against the law and judges it, when you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So for me, I realise that that's the thing that trips me up, the criticism, takes me from a place of being in a place of anointing where I'm going to see freedom to a place of sitting on a self-made, high and lofty judgment seat. And my pulling away is me in silent judgment because I'm not brave enough to say to the person, to get alongside them and to pray them free. I just don't like what I'm seeing, so I'm going to walk away. And my judgment seat, to me, probably looks like a nice polished throne. But when you sit on it, it's rough and it's splintered. And the more we jiggle about and get comfy, the more splinters we get. That's how I see what I've done. I love, though, that when people have demonstrated the right thing, the right way, and I've seen freedom, my eyes have been finally open. And James 5:16. Is that place. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, and pray, and the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Is powerful and effective. That's why we see the ugly. That's why we see it. God is taking us to a place of anointing where we get to move towards each other and say, I might see that, Lord, but I know you have freedom. I know you do. And I watched that demonstrated here. Sylvia demonstrated it last week with Leah. Leah was struggling with something. Sylvia stood alongside her. Then Leah came up and she demonstrated. Is it James 11? Which is the one that says, it's James somewhere, where we confess to each other so that we can stand together and pray and see each other healed. Oh, it's that one. Therefore, yes, of course it is. Yes. And she demonstrated that last week. So if we're creating a place where we're safe, for people to come and where we can show each other the things that we're tripping up over, the flaws and the things that we're struggling to get free of. If we create that place and then are able to do, to see freedom, able to pray, able to bring that revelation that unlocks, that is the key for that person's freedom, that's pastoral. The whole body rising up together. That's us all loving each other enough to want to see that freedom. Some months ago, Simon spoke about the... what's that expanding? Hoberman's sphere, that expanding ball. Sometimes known as the breathing ball, which I thought was really interesting because where there's breath, there's life. And when we stand together, we expand as a body. We're not put off by each other's trip hazards and flaws and sin. And by that, when I say stand together, I also want to be clear that standing together is not accepting or affirming someone else's sin. We're not going to get alongside and people please. That's not what this is. We're not going to get alongside and say, it's okay that you feel like that. I can see that you're confused, or I can see this is going on and that's okay. That's not what this is. That's not anointing. Anointing is, yeah, I can see what's tripping you up and I am going to be committed and intentional to pray for your healing. So often when I see something in someone, maybe it's just that, you know, there's that edge to something, I will focus in on that and I will go, okay, Lord, what's that? I can hear that there's a wound there. I might not see what it is, so don't get freaked out if you have a conversation with me. I might not see what it is, but I will intentionally then be looking, Lord, what is that? How do I pray for this person? How do I pray them free? Because that's what I want. I want to see us all rising up. I want to see freedom. So, Hebrews. I need to find it. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is where this wraps this up really nicely for me and puts it in a nice, clear way. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day there, you might notice, is in capital letters. Who knows what that means? the day that Jesus returns. So much hope in that, isn't there, that he's coming back for us. And that we know we're not perfect in this life, and we won't be, but we are created in his image. We are created to love one another really well and to see each other free. And if we hear criticism, don't be stepping back and be persuaded not to meet together, as some do. And I know I'm taking that out of context, but for me, that's what it represents, is that moment where we're offended and we step back. Don't be persuaded to do that. Let's be persuaded to link arms, to say, Lord, show me what's going on behind that. Help me pray them free. I want to speak into your anointing. I've had real struggles this week just holding on to this for myself. There's been so many situations that have come up within my own family that have challenged me, and I've had to really walk this out intentionally. Like, Lord, I really want to see their anointing. I'm going to speak into that. I'm not going to be hurt by the words or the actions. I kind of saw us, but we've already done it, I think, but I kind of saw us in a circle, linking arms, just like the Hoberman sphere, where we're all connected. And we can stand and we can look at each other and we can say, I see you. I see who God created you to be. I'm not going to look at the ugly. I'm not going to look at what's not right, what's not perfected. I see you. And I am going to intentionally step into your story and pray you free. I hope that resonates with some here today, because it's been something that I've really carried, really struggled with, because I'm not free in it myself, and I can, on those days, still go back to a place of silent judgment and have to get myself right with God. And confession is key to that. I'm doing it again, Mark. Can you just stand with me and pray? Or somebody else, you know? That's the bit that we need. We need each other. God gave us. He created us for relationship with him. He created us. He is the God without a beginning or an end. He is eternal. He didn't need us, but he chose to create us to have a loving, real, really real relationship with a Father who is pure, who can't sin, who is only good, and who chooses to see us as perfected, who chooses to see us as redeemed. Can we live as if Jesus' blood was enough for us? Can we show each other that without stepping back into silent judgment? Because we are all loved by an eternal God. And if we are created in his image, how do we show that? I feel like I just want to pray for us, because I don't want this. My heart is to see us free, not to come from a place of condemnation. So if you know that you have situations in your life and this is resonating, then let's just pray. Let's just go before God now. Father, I want to thank you that you are our hope. That Jesus, your blood, paid for my sin. Father, I pray that you will open my heart and my eyes to the people around me that will challenge me this week, and that I will choose to step into a place of authority to love them intentionally and see their healing. Lord, because that is your will, that we be free and healed, and that you have anointed us to set the captives free and for the blind to see. And Lord, I want that in my life. Thank you so much for the people that you've placed around me that love me intentionally. Lord, help me to be that every day to those around me. I lay all of it at the foot. foot of the cross, Lord, because your blood already paid for all of that. Your victory is enough. Thank you, Lord, as we go on this journey together, that you have linked us as a family. Thank you, Lord. Protect us as we walk into this week. Show us, Lord, any of these stumbling blocks, and help us to come straight back to you and to get alongside someone that we can confess and have them pray and see us healed. Thank you, Lord, that you are rising this whole body up together, locked in, committed, and intentionally loving well. Thank you, Lord. Amen.